Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Brady talked about Memorial Day this morning. I think it's important as Christians. I think Christians ought to be people that are people of words, that words mean things. That would come from the fact that we're people of the book. We have God's word. He's given us words, and those words mean things. That's why it's very important for us that as we look at scriptures, we know what the words mean. I've mentioned a couple times in here that we follow a certain hermeneutic. Hermeneutics is a fancy academic word for the way you interpret scripture. And we believe here at Fairhaven that the right way to interpret scripture is grammatically. That means that they're words and they have a grammatical meaning, and historically, that those words were given at a certain point in time. And then we do understand that Jesus said all of the scriptures were about himself. And so that all of the scriptures is telling us the story of man's redemption. And so we also look for that type of understanding when we look at scriptures. Now, I say all that to say that it's a shame to me that Americans generally look upon every holiday as just some type of a day off of work. Isn't this one the mattress sale holiday? I don't know. I think it's significant that we do recognize that this is Memorial Day and that it is different from Veterans Day. Of course, we don't think that any of those that gave their lives can, you know, hear us talk to them or anything like that. Okay? But we remember the sacrifice they gave. He said it's appropriate. I don't see it out of line to thank those who were willing to give their lives in defense of our country. But in another sense, they have their own day, and that is Veterans Day. Independence Day, the 4th of July, is different altogether. And then there are other holidays, and I think it's important for us as Christians, at least, it should be easier for us as Christians, because we're used to looking at words and trying to understand what they mean, to correctly observe the holidays that we have as a country. Of course, Christmas, that fits with us better, hopefully. Thanksgiving isn't Turkey Day, and all these things that are good for us, they're given to us for us to recognize and help us, and that's clearly biblical. I'm not saying that Memorial Day is a biblical holiday, but the idea of having holidays to remember things is all throughout the Old Testament. And so we should, I can imagine, the Hebrew people perhaps got to the point where, you know, the Passover was just another holiday, and it didn't remind them of what happened when they left Egypt. And the Feast of Tabernacles was just another fun time when they, you know, the kids, in fact, much of that is the way they celebrate these holidays to this day. It's just kind of fun. It's a time when they put tents up in the backyard and have a good time with their family. And as people of the Bible, we know that there's more to what goes on around us than just traditions. There's words behind it. And I think this idea is important for us to think about and remember also as we get into our topic for this summer. Pastor Darren has mentioned for a couple weeks that we are going to be addressing the topic of standards. And there's a lot of different directions we could go with this idea. One of the things that I'm going to, one reason for the topics that I will be selecting is what we call at our church requirements for workers. To be saved, you need to turn to Christ for who he is and turn from yourself, turn to him, and he saves you. Trust in him, and he gives us eternal life. To become a member of our church, we say that you need to be saved, have been baptized since you were saved, and agree with our church covenant. To work in our church ministries, we have some other requirements, and among those are many what we would call personal standards, whether they're private or public, that we say, well, we don't do this and we don't do that. And so that's some of the foundation for the topics we'll be covering this summer, and others are what might be considered well-known standards. Maybe they're not well known anymore in our current American culture, but for decades, until maybe the 80s, 70s and 80s, a lot of churches recognized certain things that a lot of Christians and their churches recognized certain things that you would do or you wouldn't do because you're a Christian. And those, to me, fall under the idea of standards. So along those lines, just to get us thinking, have you ever been doing something and somebody says, why, you know, they know you're from Fairhaven or they know that you're a Christian. They say, why do Christians always do that? Or why do Fairhaven people do that? Now, sometimes it's something they've heard of that we don't do, okay? But why do you do that? All right, fill in the blank. Or why don't you do that? Why don't you drink? Doesn't the Bible say a little wine for the stomach's sake or something like that? Why don't you drink? Or I think this happens to us. People know that we're a Christian and they say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. They have a certain standard. They've been somehow, Christians don't do that. You know, they have a standard themselves. They don't hold themselves to it. But somewhere they got this idea that if you're a Christian, you do this or you don't do that. Everybody, all around us are standards. Any group of people, anybody that identifies as anything, has standards. Even if you're a Democrat, you have certain standards that you expect people to maintain. If you're a Republican, okay, that's politically. If you're, it doesn't have to be politics, doesn't have to be religion, anything in culture, if you're a musician, if you're a certain level of musician, you have standards that, you know, you expect people to be able to do in order to be part of your association or whatever. So, many times, and many of these things are external. They're things that we can see. And so, other people, and even we ourselves, can get into this mindset that we live a certain life, we make sure, and that because we're Christians, there's certain things we make sure we do, and there's certain things we make sure that we don't do. And that the Christian life boils down to practically a list of do's and don'ts. Is that what the Christian life is? Is it a list of do's and don'ts? I don't believe so. And I want to be clear about that while we talk about some things that we should do and some things that we should not do, we don't do. While the Christian life is not a list of do's and don'ts, there are things to do and there are things to don't do. But there are reasons for those. It's not just because it's on a list. And that's what we want to try to cover this summer as we look at things to do and things not to do. We want to think about why we do them, why we don't do them. We don't follow these guidelines. We don't hold these standards just because it's on a list of requirements for workers at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Okay. It is on a list of requirements, but that's not the reason that we do them. And so we're going to be addressing the subject of standards for the first couple weeks, and then we'll be looking at particular issues that normally fall under the discussion of standards through the rest of the summer. It's my thought that this type of topic may... you may have more questions as we talk about this type of topic. I try to be prepared and try to think of the different questions that you might have and have answers ready, or even in my presentation, answer questions that you already would have. But I don't know everybody's mind and way of thinking. And so maybe there's a certain time when I don't have the time and I'm moving along and can't really accept the question. But especially this summer, as we talk about these things, I would like you to feel welcome to ask questions. That's hard to do in an auditorium of this size. You feel like it's kind of like the preaching, only just a little bit fewer people. But you are welcome to raise your hand, and I'll probably see it as well as I saw Mrs. Ramus' hand the other night. I guess I really missed it, because even I said that and someone laughed. They noticed me missing it, but I went and talked to her right away because I didn't mean ignore her. I just didn't see it. It was Carl's fault. Well, actually, he doesn't know that, but he moved his hand, and I thought he was starting to raise his hand, and then I noticed he wasn't, and I thought, okay, well, that was the movement over there, and I looked in other places, didn't see anything, and I said, okay, we're done. Anyway, that's what happens when you're under public scrutiny all the time. People find stuff that you do, and then they associate motives to it. You know, I think Mrs. Ramus is really an idiot. I would never ask her anything in public. She'll embarrass herself. Something like that. Anyway, we're on a rabbit trail. I think we need to get back here. I would like you to feel free to raise hands and ask questions. And I just want to say, it looks like the ropes were taken down. I would like those ropes to be put up each week to push you and that are in the back two or three rows closer. Okay? So, ushers, I would like those left up all the way until we get well into my lesson. Okay? I know there are some people that have to slip out to get ready for junior church. The second wave of buses are coming in. And so I don't mind those people sitting toward the back. But the back just moved up. So let's leave the back of the new set of pews open for those that have to leave. And the rest of us move up just a little bit. It'll make you just a little closer to me, which will be a little bit more like a classroom, even though we're in this big room. All right. Why do we do the things that we do? What about standards? If you look on the back of the handout, I have listed there, instead of lesson notes, as it says almost all the time, I have there 8 steps to standards. And I would like to, I don't know, I want to take my time. I don't want to belabor any points, but I don't want to hurry through anything either. So we might take 2 weeks to do this, or we might get through it in 1 week. But I want to just start out by talking through how is it that we come to have standards? Some people stop doing something or start doing something because they hear it at their church, and that's not a bad reason. If you're a young Christian and you're coming to church and you hear at church you ought not to do something, go ahead and stop doing it. But as you grow, you ought to understand that these prohibitions or these allowances didn't just materialize out of thin air. There's a reason for them. And there's steps that should be gone through. If you're wondering why you believe a certain thing or why you practice a certain thing, you can go to these steps and say, okay, how does what I'm practicing fit into this? And it will help you to have a more solid foundation for why you do something. We ought not just do something for no reason, just because the crowd is doing it, even if it seems to be a pretty good crowd. There are times when we, you know, children don't need to, your children ask you why all the time. You need to just say, because I said so. And the next time, just give them a little reminder of who's telling them what to do. Okay? It's just fine to do something because your parents told you to. But none of you in here all of you are kind of past that age. It's time to start knowing why you do things besides just because some type of an authority told you, some type of human authority told you to do that. We should have biblical authority, God's authority for why we do certain things. So you'll notice that the first thing I have on there is the word attitude. See, our true separation, true standards, good standards of separation from the world begins with an attitude. Not a bad attitude. It begins with a proper attitude. We are, as Christians, and we're talking about standards that Christians hold, we should have the proper attitude. We should have the proper perspective, maybe. And when we do, we'll have the right attitude about the standards that we have. There are people who have real strong, bold standards, but they have the wrong attitude about it. And it doesn't help others, and it doesn't really help themselves either. But proper attitudes begin with, I think, just answering and understanding the answer to two questions really helps us get the right attitude, I think. And the one question is, who is he? Or who is God? Who is God? Okay, so the answer, God is someone that we can know personally. Do you know God personally? If you don't know God personally, you're not going to be able to, something that you should do or shouldn't do is going to be just that. It's not going to be connected to the person, God, who wants you to live a certain way. Do you know who is he? Who is God? He's a personal being. He's God, and that's another thing we should understand about him. He's holy. The word holy means separate. He's totally separate from everything here in the world. He created the world. He created us. But as a holy being, he is completely separate from us. We are not really in hardly any way like him, except that we're created in his image. Okay, in that sense, we're like him. But he transcends. That means he's above all of these things. He's separate, sacred, holy. And so when we understand who he is and his holiness and the ways that what he does, his practices, the way he works in the earth, even though he's separate from the earth, he works in the earth. When we understand these things, that helps us have the right attitude about him, and then therefore about the things that he wants from us, or things that we come to believe that he wants from us. Do you know God personally? You need to know him personally. Otherwise, you may look at standards as some way to be able to know him, some steps to be able to approach him. And we cannot get to God through things that we do or things that we don't do. That's not the way to God. The way to God is through Jesus Christ, his son, who was a person, a man, who lived here on the earth. So we need to know God personally through Jesus Christ, his son. We need to understand how God works, his ways. We need to know his ways. We can look and we can find out his ways by looking in the Bible. The Bible is a huge resource of a recording of God's interactions with man, what he said, how he expected the people that he talked to respond to what he said. And so we can learn how he works with men. And because we know that God doesn't change, we can expect him to work the same way with men today as he worked with men in the Bible. And then the other question, so who is he? Who is God? That affects our attitude. And then who am I? Who am I? See, most of the times, because from the very beginning, when Eve ate the fruit and Adam ate the fruit in rebellion, mankind, with Adam as their head, decided that they wanted to be the ones in charge. That man rebelled against God and placed themselves in a position of authority over anything, everything. Satan tempted him by saying, "Ye shall be as gods." Okay? And so we, as human beings, we have built into our nature this bent, this inclination toward thinking that we're in charge and whatever we want to do is okay, is right. And we need to understand that that's not true. Who are we really? We are creatures. We're the creation of God. And so if we are to have the right thoughts, some right thoughts, understanding that is that we would think the way God thinks about things, that our attitudes, that our affections, the things that we like and the things that we want should be lined up with what God wants, not us. We are not the standard, if we want to mix words there, mix ideas. We don't determine what we like and what we don't like because we are just the creature. We're a creature that was born in rebellion against the Creator. So just because we like something doesn't mean that it's good or right. In a certain sense, just because we like something doesn't mean that it's evil either. Okay? But our attitude should recognize who we are, what our position is, and then we should, as Christians, say, okay, well, since I'm just a human being, I want my thoughts to be conformed to the way heaven thinks, the way that God thinks. The things I like, I want them to be the things that God likes. And if something I like is something that God likes already, all the easier in that area. But because we're human beings, we will recognize, we will admit that there's going to be areas in our life where what we want and what God wants is not going to be the same. And our attitude should be that we bring ourselves into line with heaven, ourselves into line with God, and not that we are the standard, that whatever we say would be okay. So, and we should recognize that in most areas, that there, in these areas, in areas of right and wrong, there's no middle ground that is neither right nor wrong. Okay? We can't say, well, God wants this and the world wants this, but I'm gonna just pull some middle area and I'm gonna be neutral on this. That's not the way it works in the world. What God says is true. If you're believing anything or practicing anything different from what God says, you're false or you're wrong. That's in our culture today, and it's getting stronger and stronger. Probably some of you that are older see it even more so than I do. But more and more and more around us, people want to say, well, whatever people say, whatever people believe, there's got to be some merit to that. There's got to be, it's probably okay. It's not okay. If it's not what God says, it's in rebellion against God. Now, it may have a measure of truth, but if it's got falsehood in it, it's false. Okay? Any good lie has some truth in it. That's why we're inclined to believe it. But it's still a lie. And any good falsehood has some truth in it because that's what it uses to get us to go that way. But it's still false. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. And we need to understand this in our lives. We're with God. And I can say this. I think we could be with God in one area and not with him in another area. We could be, our minds could be made up and straight here, and then we're holding this area back. Now, as a whole, we're against God then, because we're not completely given over to him. Our attitude is such that, well, since I'm okay here, I can do what I want here. That's wrong. Okay. But in every area, there's no neutral ground. There's no place that we can stand and say, well, I know God wants this, but what the world would really like me to do is this, and I'm just going to sit here in the middle. I'm not going to do what the world wants, but I'm not ready to do what God wants. There's no neutral ground. And we should understand that. We should have the attitude that understands this. I understand who God is, and I understand who I am, and since I am a human being, a creature of God, I recognize my position. Something that I skipped over as I was going through there is that as Christians, we should be growing in our understanding or realization of Christ's lordship in our life. Christ is God. Jesus is God. when John said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, that was verse 12 of chapter 1 of John. The only person that we know, if we're starting in John, the only person that we know before we get to verse 12 is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God, and He's the Creator. And so when we receive Jesus, we receive Him as God, not just as a Savior. He is a Savior, but He is Master and Creator. We don't fully comprehend that when we come to Him for salvation. But we should be growing in that understanding. As Christians, we should be growing in the understanding that Jesus Christ is the master of our whole life. Is there anything that God doesn't care about? No, He cares about all things in our lives. And so since He says He believes something about everything, or He states something about everything, then we would want our lives to be in conformity with what He says about everything. And as Christians, we should be growing. We should be understanding more and more the areas that... It's one thing to say, yes, Christ is master of everything. I want to obey Him in everything. It's another thing to realize all those areas in our lives that are not surrendered to Him. But as Christians, we should be growing in our understanding of that, of His dominion, of His lordship, of our submission to Him as God in our lives. That should be growing. I said to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a quite familiar passage to many people that we will look at when we look at the subject of standards and the idea of being separate because God is holy. We'll begin reading at verse 14 of chapter 6. Here, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, we can go through. Paul he makes a statement, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you should be separate from unbelievers. That's his statement. Then he gives several illustrations that help us understand the idea of separation. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Just if we're looking at those words, something's righteous and it's unrighteous. Just the meaning of the words, the meaning of the prefix un. There's righteousness and unrighteousness. Do they fellowship? No, they don't. What communion hath light with darkness? Okay, communion. It's communing together. If you put light into darkness, is it dark? No, there's light there. There's no communion of light with darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Concord is a musical term. The different notes, they fit together and they make a beautiful sound. Does Christ and Belial, does Christ and Satan fit together and make a beautiful sound? No, it cannot. You can't mix them. They're totally separate. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What's the definition of an infidel? An unbeliever. So you can't have somebody that's a believer and an infidel. They don't have a part one with another. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? The temple of God and idols, they don't fit together. It's a desecration. There were times when idols were erected in the temple of God, but there's no agreement between the temple of God and idols. And then he says, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we've talked about what is our attitude toward God. What is our attitude about ourselves? Okay, God says to his people, he will dwell in us. God is not just a man up in heaven that says, well, we can say, well, when I get to heaven, things will be... But down here, God understands. Well, God dwells in us. So the things that God wants are, should be the things that, if we do the things that God doesn't want, we're opposed to Him. We're forcing Him to be a part of things that He says that are wrong. So I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then Paul says in verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So our attitude toward the idea of standards should be that we want to be like God, we want to know God, we do know Him personally, and we want His reign in our life to be clear, and people to be able to see it. In one sense, we should let our light shine, but more than that, we recognize our position as His creatures, and we recognize who He is, and when we get our attitudes right, our perspective of standards correct, then the things that, you know, if God says to you not to do something, you understand, if you understand clearly that you should not do something, and it's something you've done all your life, if our attitude is correct toward God, we recognize, oh, I can't believe that I thought that was okay for all these years, but now I see that it's not, but it's God. And I want to have the right relationship with God. I want people to understand the right thing about God when they see me, so I'm not going to do that. Or I am going to do that, whatever it is that we learn from the Scriptures. So, step number one, attitude. Sam, maybe we'll be on this 8 steps for 8 weeks, you think? So, probably not. But this is where we should start. And I had later on in my notes, and I know I haven't got to it, we have several of the books that Pastor Darren mentioned in the back by Dr. Allison, Mike Allison, called Preaching Standards, Right and Wrong. We'll be looking at that at some point in the summer. Those books are not free for the taking, necessarily. They're $5, and that's very reasonable and very helpful, a very good approach to Scripture and understanding the Scriptures and seeing applying the proper understanding of Scriptures to practical issues for today in it. They'll be in the bookstore, and on Sunday mornings we'll have them there. So if you're interested in that, and you know, bring $5 next week, or if you have $5, you can get those from the back there. We'll probably put them away here fairly soon after we finish, before the large crowds get in the foyer. All right, so we're done for this week. We got one step out of the way. I was hoping to get two or three, so hopefully next week we can get well on our way. I do want to cover more than just the idea behind standards this summer. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us, and that even when we were sinners, in rebellion against you, you sent your Son to die on the cross.